Very good morning, new lifers and friends. No response. Let's try that again, okay? A very good morning, new lifers and friends. Well, glad to see all of you here, and I think we'll take a short time to greet one another in the Lord. Shall we do it right now? Let's all stand and greet one another in Christ. It's good to see Sister Ivy back with us for worship after a long break, and the Lord has been healing her, and she's recovering and looking good. May God continue to bless you. Let's turn our Bibles at this time, please, to Numbers chapter 20. This morning I want to address the question, is it a sin to be angry? I'm sure anger is an emotion that all of us do at times feel and experience. Some of us more often than others, isn't it? So is it a sin to be angry? Well, I'm going to use the story of Moses, an incident in his life, to address this question. But first, I'd like us to remember that in Galatians chapter 6, God designed what we call the law of sowing and reaping. And Galatians 6, 7 to 8, the Word of God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I hope all of us will spend time pondering over this law of God, the law of sowing and reaping, and apply it to our Christian living. But today I'm not going to apply it generally. I'm going to do it more specifically as we look at the subject of anger. All right? Anger. First of all, let us quickly review this man called Moses. All right? Sorry, before we do that, let me just state a few more things. Now, the Lord designed the law of sowing and reaping with positive blessings for what? Obedience. And consequences for disobedience. This is a law that you cannot escape, right? You cannot expect to do something against the Word of God and reap blessing. It cannot work that way, right? So don't deceive yourself, as Scripture says, and think that you can get away with your disobedience. Because no man, as I've mentioned, is above God's law, including this great Old Testament personnel called Moses, whom the Bible says is a man who met God face to face. The only man in the Bible, besides Jesus, of course, who met God face to face and saw the back of the glory of God. No man was like Moses. In that sense, we can say that he is the greatest saint or believer in the Bible. All right? But he is not above God's law either. And we will see that in a short while. Now, consequences are a deterrent factor to warn us to stay away from sin. I'm sure you and I have the experience of sometimes going to a food court, we order a clay pot, rice with chicken or something else, and then you are not careful, you go and touch the hot pot. What happened when you touch that hot pot? Straight away, you take your finger away, isn't it? You don't touch it and then you press it down. When you feel pain, you draw your hands away quickly. So that's an example. of consequences being a deterrent. All right? You put your hand to a hot stove and it hurts. And you will not do that again, right? Because you know you will get hurt. Now, who was this man Moses? I've already mentioned one aspect about him. He was a man who spoke to God face to face. He is also Israel's great lawgiver and leader. He led 2 million Jews out of bondage in Egypt and wandered with them in the wilderness 40 years due to the people's unbelief. In that sense, he is a very patient man. 40 years in the wilderness with this people. He's the one who received the 2 tablets containing the 10 commandments from God at Mount Sinai. So he's Israel's greatest prophet, lawgiver, deliverer, historian, and saint. But Moses had a failure in his life. And you see, the Bible is the word of God. One of the things that should persuade us and convince us that it's the word of God is that the heroes of the Bible are not presented as perfect beings. Many of the great heroes of the Bible, the great prophets and kings and priests, they have their flaws. And God records even their flaws. So that we don't get a wrong picture that these are perfect, sinless men. They are great because of the grace of God, nothing else but the grace of God. And the same will be true of us. If we do anything great for God, we do anything that has eternal impact for the glory of God, it is by His grace, nothing in us, because we are sinful beings. So what was Moses' failure? Near the end of his life, there was a sad incident in which he failed God. And that sin produced the consequences. All right, there's consequences for failure. The consequence of restricting Moses' entry into the promised land. Let us find out why. All right, why? First of all, the setting. The place and the timing of this incident. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1, gives us the setting. The place is none other than what you have read earlier in the scripture, the desert of Zin, and specifically in a place called Kadesh. They were in the place called Kadesh where there was no water to drink. All right? The people were getting thirsty, frustrated. And so we see a problem arising. The problem and the test, verses 2 to 8. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people choked with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." And why have He brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have He made us to come up of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, and of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. So the big problem was there was no water to drink. The people were thirsty. Let's go on and finish the verses. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now that's a great thing to do, leaders of the church. When people complain, when there are problems in the church, the first thing leaders should do is what? Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to your closet, shut the door, all right, and pray. And seek the Lord for His directions. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, so we now have an instruction to Moses, and in that instruction is a test for Moses and Aaron. In verse 8, the scripture says, God says to Moses and Aaron, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. So God says, Moses, no worries. I can solve this problem very simply. Take the rod that you have in your hand, go to this rock there, speak to the rock, and water will come out of the rock, and you shall give the congregation and their beasts drink. Water out of the rock. Now, we have seen waterfalls and all that, right? But have you ever seen water actually coming out of a rock? It's a miracle. And miracles are God's normal doings. You see, because he's a God of miracles. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. So Moses and Aaron did the right thing. When the people complain, they have a problem, they bring it before the Lord. And I think here's a lesson for all of us too. As we live our Christian life, we'll be faced with problems and difficulties, whether it is at work, in the family, and at school. What should we do? Well, the first thing we usually, by natural impulse, we'll do is complain, 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 isn't it? That's the first thing we do. But instead of doing that, I think let's learn to go to the Lord in prayer. All right? Priority is to go to the Lord in prayer. So here is a very simple, clear instruction, and God says, no problem, I will give them water to drink. But let's look at the pitfall and the transgression. Here is the pitfall, verses 9 and 10. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And in verse 10, Moses said, he lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Moses' pitfall and transgression is recorded in these two verses. Let me explain the significance of this pitfall and transgression. First of all, we see the emotion factor. Now, 40 years wandering with a people who is always murmuring and complaining, will it get to you? I'm sure it will. Some of us, we are not married very long. It already get to us when our wives, sorry, women, likes to nag. Right? It's already get to us and it irritates us and provokes us. But 40 years leading 2 million Jews, complaining and murmuring, never grateful to God's provision for them all this time. Well, gets to Moses. And so, naturally, Moses was angry. We see his anger. Was he right to be angry? Is it a sin for him to be angry? Well, the answer is no. It is not sinful to be angry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 tells us, be angry and sin not. So it's not wrong to be angry. However, when we are angry and upset, anger is a very powerful emotion. There's a tendency when the anger is not controlled that it will cloud our mind, all right, our rational part of us. And then we react and express that anger in the wrong way. So the risk of sinning in anger is very high, don't you think? And that's why God wants us to be angry, but do not sin in your anger. When we are angry, we usually ventilate. You see this in road rage that are reported in the Straits Times, right? Here you are driving your car, and somebody without warning zoom into your path, and you have to brake, you know? And then some of us, if we are not careful, four-letter words come out of our mouth, right? We get upset, we may chase after that guy, honk him, tell him to stop. And then when he stops, we come out of the car, we may whack him up. We may, some do, and they are charged in court. Then you may say, hey, what's wrong? That guy cut into my path. Have I not the right to be angry? Yes, you do. It's not sinful for you to be angry. But how do you express your anger? Violence. You take the law into your own hands. You know, you wake up the person. So you're charged for what? Not your anger, but the wrong way of expressing your anger. Now we can multiply that example in other incidents, right, as well. And so be careful when you're angry, because anger is a powerful emotion. If we are not careful, it will lead us to say something, do something that we will regret later. This is true also when you're angry with your husband or with your wife. You may say things to hurt the other party, which you'll regret later on. And you may do things that you will regret. You throw your favorite perfume that your husband bought for you during your birthday, you know. Or you tear the beautiful dress that was given to you at your wedding anniversary. Then later on, when you cool down, you regret. Why did I do that? What a fool. And that's what anger do to us. It clouds the rational thinking. So we need to be careful when anger arises. And that's why when I counsel people who are angry, and there was this couple over 10 years ago who came to my office one day for counseling, and the husband was so upset with the wife, keep on banging the table, you know. And I say to him, I say, can you stop banging the table? He refused, he kept on. I say, if you keep on being angry and expressing your anger this way, I'm not going to talk to you. I say, unless you stop, we are not going to start this session. Because there's no point talking to an angry man, all right, that is continuing to express his anger in that way. Nothing will get into the head. You need to let him cool down. And after they have cooled down, then you can talk sense to them. Haven't you tried, in your experience, talk to someone who is angry? Never gets in one, no matter how reasonable and persuasive you can be. Because the emotions has taken hold and cloud their rational thinking. All right? So always cool down first. Don't try to solve any problem when you are angry. Because there's a higher tendency to decide wrongly and do the wrong things. And young people, when you're angry, be careful how you express your anger towards your parents. Right? Make sure you cool down and don't say things that you regret or do things that you regret. Some children will purposely do the opposite of their parents to make them more angry. You know? Don't do that, because that is not wise. Firstly, you have broken God's commandment to honor your parents. And secondly, you are going to do things that actually hurt the relationship between you and your parents, which I'm sure in your rational mind, you do not want that to happen. All right, so control your anger. Some say breathe in, count to 10. You know, yeah, you got to do some of this cooling down exercise before you respond. The same with discipline, parents. Don't discipline your children when you are angry, because you tend to use force that is much stronger and harsher when you are angry. All right, so always cool down. So Moses did not cool down in his anger, and therefore, although his anger was right, he expressed it wrongly. Secondly, there's the example factor concerning Moses' transgression. All right, he transgressed in his anger. He sinned in anger. Secondly, we see that he modeled wrong example, modeling the wrong response as the leader of 2 million Jews. And of course, God took him to task concerning that. We'll read about that in detail in a short while. And we are all models, whether good or bad. Someone is following you. Someone is looking up to you. What kind of example are you to them? What are you modeling to your children as parents in your love for God, in your worship, in your prayer life, in other aspects of your Christian living? How are you modeling Christianity for your children? See, we are examples, whether good or bad. And so don't be surprised if you are not a good model and you do not turn out children that are godly. Law of sowing and reaping, you see? Of course, God is merciful. Sometimes God does overrule, you see? Even though we may be bad parents, some children may turn out very good and godly. Some of us may try our very best to be good parents, but we may turn out a child who is bad and ungodly, you know. But I think the chances of bringing children that are godly is higher when you and I model the right examples for them. All right, so we see, thirdly, the effects factor. The emotion factor, the example factor, and the effects factor. We see that Moses, in his wrong expression of anger, dishonored Jehovah. And that's a serious thing. His dishonor the Lord. Whether he realized it or not, he did. And therefore, the Lord disallowed him to enter the promised land. So God took his transgression seriously, as you can see here. So now let's go to the details of the seriousness of his transgression. All right, I repeated this verse, but I'm going to go straight to the point. All right. Firstly, God assessed the penalty. The penalty for Moses' transgression. It was due to the failure to obey God, firstly. Secondly, the failure to treat God as holy before the people. All right, so he dishonored the Lord. Thirdly, due to the people's provocation. And this is where he has a little bit of, leniency. All right? Because of the people's provocation, God assessed the penalty and did give him some leniency. And I'm going to demonstrate that in a short while to you. So they angered him, the scripture says, in Psalm 106, 32 to 33, at the waters of strife, Meribah, so that he went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. So God gave him some leniency here, but God does not excuse him. You understand? So you and I cannot say, because my brother provoked me, that's why I punch him and give him a blue-black eye. Your parents will still punish you for that. Maybe a bit of leniency. Instead of 10 strokes, give you 5. But still a punishment is necessary, right? Although you have been provoked, you still reacted wrongly. The same here with Moses. So what was Moses' sin? What was his transgression? Well, God had commanded him to take the rod in his hand and go and speak or strike the rock. Speak or strike the rock. Speak, right? God says, take the rod in your hand, go and speak to the rod. Now that's a command. Speak to the rock. And it shall give forth water. Therefore, the act of smiting the rock twice and not once. He was so angry he struck the rock twice. Indicates violent irritation on the part of Moses and his disregard of God's command and presence. You know, if you have a higher authority in your presence, like perhaps you are in a court and the judge is here listening to the trial, all right, and then the defender and the one who's being accused are together. And then as they are talking, suddenly, you know, the defender rush over to the accuser and give him a punch in front of the judge. That's a serious offense in a law of court, you see, because there's disrespect of the authority that is right in front of you, the judge. So the same way, you see, God was present with the congregation. God knew their murmurings and their complaint. And then God says, Moses, I'll take care of this. Speak to the rock. But Moses took the rod and struck it twice. So he disregarded God's command. He disregarded the presence of God. You know? So in the presence of the king, for example, you do not take the law into your own hands and express your anger. So that was serious. Thirdly, he permitted his spirit to be carried away by a sense of the people's unbelief, and thus, being provoked, he was led to speak unadvisedly with his lips. And that's another thing anger will do to us. Huh? Words will come out of our mouth unadvisedly, like Moses. He says, "Hear now, ye rebels!" Now, was he right to call them rebels? In a sense, yes. But in his anger, provoked response, all right, in front of the presence of God, he was expressing, ventilating his anger against the people. All right, and that was wrong on his part. All right. And not only did he say, "Ye rebels," look at what he said next. He did not acknowledge God in the miracle, but took the honor to himself and Aaron. He says, "Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Well, did Moses and Aaron produce this miracle of water out of the rock? No way. It was God who did it. But they took upon them and said, "Must we fetch you water out of the rock?" And they have forgotten to give God the glory and the merit, and took it upon themselves. So these are the dangers I hope you can see. And perhaps you can relate some incidents in your own life whereby you reacted like Moses. And may God help you to control your temper. You know, I have, in my own temperament, the impulsiveness of Peter. Very impulsive sometimes. And I have the temper of James and John, the sons of thunder. Very fiery. You look at me and you say, nah, Pastor Gan must be kidding us. We haven't heard him or seen him bang the pulpit once yet. Maybe I should. Right? But that's my temperament. I'm telling you the truth, you can check with my wife. I think in the beginning of our marriage, she must have read really hard for me. But as time progresses, I'm sure the Lord mellowed me. I hope she can say that. That I, God has mellowed me over these 30 years in our marriage. And I hope my children can testify to that as well. Well, when they were young, they were really fearful of me. Just one word from me, they'll be scared. They're not scared of my wife. But one look from me, one word from me, and they will tremble. But of course, now they are grown up, all right? So that is my temperament. And this is something I need to keep watch over, because I find that I tend to react pretty quickly. And I need to hold myself back. Otherwise, I will say things unadvisedly, like Moses. And I can hurt people back very quickly as well. And I'm sure some of you can identify with my temperaments, isn't it? We have that fiery temperament. And then we blame our father for it. I'm like my dad. I'm a chip of the old block. No excuse. All right? No excuse. Which leads us to the next point. Moses accepted God's penalty for him. All right? And the reasons for his anger, as we have seen in summary, is internal pressure. He was provoked, right? He was frustrated with the people, and there's external pressure from the congregation, their complaint and their need for water. And then we see the responsibility of Moses, that there was no excuses from him. And noting the incident later in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and chapter 4, we see that Moses accepted God's penalty for his transgression. And in this incident, I'd like to conclude with two lessons for us. First of all, beware because the weakness of one's youth may return at old age. What you are when you are young, if you are very temperamental, or whatever it is, it tends to return to you at your old age. Remember one incident in Moses' life when he was about 40? How he stood up for the Israelite slave, and then in his anger, he killed an Egyptian soldier. And because of that, he fled for his life. Pharaoh was after him. And he had to live the next 40 years of his life in the wilderness of Midian, being what? A shepherd. A shepherd. Look at his career change. Could have been successor to Pharaoh because he was what? The daughter's son, adopted son. Very well trained, all right, in all the arts and skills of the Egyptians. Could be one of the successes. But due to his anger, 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, looking after sheep. And I think some of us suffer from our anger in that way too, the consequences, right? We get angry with our boss and we shout at him, we throw things and we say, I quit. Okay, you quit. And later on, you have a problem. Looking for a job or a job with similar pay. Isn't it? Out of anger. We can do many foolish things, you see. So we mustn't sin in our anger. If there are things that we know we need to stand for, we must do it in the right way. All right? Not out of anger. And of course, there are some things we cannot control. It is the injustice of man, you see. So we suffer the injustice of man, and we learn to live and commit that to God, you see. who will balance the scales of justice for us. Secondly, the other lesson we see in Moses' transgression is the grace and mercy of God. God is a very merciful and gracious God, and we see that even in the consequences he meted out to Moses. You know, he still called Moses my servant. My servant Moses. It's a commendation. All right? And he let Moses view the promised land from Pisgah's lofty height. Moses, you cannot enter, but come up to the hills in Pisgah. I'll let you have a view of the promised land I'm giving to the people. So God is gracious and merciful. And do you know, years later in the New Testament, we read in the Gospels, two men appeared before the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Can you remember who appeared? One was Elijah, the other was Moses. Oh, he got into the promised land. Finally, God allows him after a long period. And I think the same, isn't it? Sometimes we also stop our children from something, but over the weeks we may, you know, let them do it after some time when they have learned their lesson. All right? So these are the two lessons I hope you take home, and you will watch your temperament. But how should we emulate Moses? I do not want to close negatively, because Moses actually lived a very exemplary life, except for this one incident, all right? And I think one mark of this incident should not erase all the good he has done. And therefore, I think we should learn to emulate Moses in the things that he did right. And what are they? We see, first of all, Moses' availability. He let God use him and cultivate his character, all right? So he was submissive to God. God called him a meek man. Secondly, we see Moses' activity. He invested his life in people. All right? He spent 40 years, you know, in the wilderness with these rebellious Jews. How patient he must be. But he knows that these people who are not perfect are God's people. And I think we need to learn to have that patience as well, as we help each other and provoke each other to love and to good works. Yes, you may be angry about some things concerning the church. You may be angry about some things that are not going according to your expectations. But hey, this is God's church. Don't forget that. God is present. Jesus Christ is the head. Don't you dare say things against the church, do things against the church in his holy presence. Because God is not going to let you get away with it. Don't you dare dishonor the Lord. Correct things in the right way, with the right spirit, in the right attitude, you see. And then God will be glorified and we can grow together and serve him together. Otherwise, we will be used of the devil to create divisions, conflicts, you see. So be careful concerning your anger and your frustration, and invest your life in helping people, those in the household of faith first. And Moses' agenda, he hungered to know God and to do his will. Yes, one incident should not erase everything. He has followed God and obeyed him in many, many, many incidents. All right? Like leading the people out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, even though it seemed impossible, he trusted the Lord. So in closing, may I encourage us to emulate Moses in these three areas. And let us also remember that when serving God, we need to remember that we are complementing each other. We are not competing with each other for position, for prestige, or for power. Let us be faithful and let God use us and give us greater responsibility at his perfect time. Let us pray. Eternal God, our loving Father, Lord, as we look at this incident in Moses' life, we pray that you help us not to despise Moses for his anger and his transgression, but help us to see ourselves in our own failures and how you, who have been gracious to Moses, was also gracious and merciful to us. And we pray that, Lord, we may learn from your word today that there is no excuse for us to transgress, even if our anger is correct. So help us to watch our spirit, guard our hearts, so that we will not allow it to bring shame and pain and grief to your heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.